Thank you for being here. We are continuing our study on creating community in the church, and we're going to kind of be looking at the responsibilities that we have, and we'll kind of get into that in just a moment more specifically for tonight. But we have talked about our responsibilities towards God. What did we talk about already as far as our responsibilities towards God? What have we talked about? Obeying God, like the most important commandment, love the Lord thy God with all your self, right? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we talked about that. We all have a responsibility towards my neighbor. How do I have a responsibility towards my neighbor? What famous parable or what famous story do we have in connection with that? What's that? The Good Samaritan, right? So famous. He's got hospitals named after him. So, really famous guy. So, yes. So, love your neighbor as yourself is what we're supposed to be doing. And we're going to talk about our responsibilities that we have towards our brother and sister, or towards one another, actually, is what we're going to be looking at. And eventually we'll get to some of these as well later on in our study. But looking at our one another responsibilities, what are some one another things that we have? When we, even just reading that, is that a one-way street when you read that, those two words together? Is that a one-way street? That's reciprocal. That's a reciprocal relationship. And so we're going to be looking at some of those responsibilities. Would it surprise you that we would start here? Is that a surprise? Shocker? Right? No, not really. Right? This is a classic Bible school answer. It's love. But we have a lot of passages that talk about this and a lot of passages that encourage us. This passage here we've looked at in other contexts. A new commandment I'm giving to you, and we even see that in John later on in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. The 1st John writes about this as well. Not a new commandment I give, but the commandment that was from the beginning, that you love one another. So this is important. Why is it important that we love one another? Specifically here, what does it say? We will be known by our love. So not only is it help with our relationship with one another, but it helps with people understanding who we are. We'll be known by our love for one another. What does fervent love mean? Strong love, a fervent love for one another. In this case, because love covers a multitude of sin, we're going to see how that is in other places. But look over in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. What's the context here in 1 Peter chapter 3? Marriage. Okay, so marriage. And then he says what here? To sum up. All right, so there's specifically talking to wives and to husbands and talking about the way they're supposed to treat one another. To sum up, all of you be harmonious. Cool, calm, and copacetic, right? We want everybody to be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil, which we talked about last Wednesday, right? We talked about that last Wednesday, not returning evil for evil. Returning evil for evil, that's that knee-jerk reaction. Would you say that's fair? Is that fair? Is that just me? Okay, I think that's fair to say that's that emotive, knee-jerk reaction is evil for evil, where they did this, that playground justice, right? That kind of thing. He started it, right? He's touching me, crossing the line, all the things. Do not return evil for evil, insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. And that's very, very different. The kind of love that we're supposed to show to one another is very, very different than what is being taught in the world at large. Do not, insult for insult, but rather a blessing. Rather a blessing. And blessing them. Maybe it's, as one person said, bless them according to thy works. But a blessing nonetheless, right? A blessing nonetheless. And giving them that opportunity. Again, showing love in a different way. What about being devoted to one another? Devoted to one another. Or in this case, Romans 12, giving preference to one another. What does that look like? to give preference or be devoted to one another? What does that look like? Lifting each other up. Being there for each other. And you said what? Helping each other first, giving preference to one another, right, and honor. And we talked about this last time, is the concept of outdoing one another and giving honor to one another. And that kind of relationship is going to be very helpful. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And we'll look at this, but being kind to one another, devoted to one another, is this idea here of helping each other through a lot of different things. There's a lot of things we're going to go through our lives, and we have a responsibility in devotion towards one another. Did I put this up here twice? No, I did not. Giving preference is what we're going to go looking at this as well. Look over Ephesians chapter 5. So devotion and preference. Ephesians chapter 5, if you have your Bible still open. What does it say here to do to one another? To submit to one another and to help, you know, in what is it, if I'm going to submit to one person, there are times maybe when I need to, well, for example, for me, if I have a strong desire to do a certain thing a certain way, but I'll submit, I'll acquiesce to somebody's preference. Have you all done that before? And we submit to one another maybe in those ways. But giving preference and submitting to one another kind of go hand in hand here. And giving preference, as we looked here last week, in Romans 12. Look over, how about have the same mind towards one another? Again, in Romans 12, we saw this. And this is thinking about everybody the same. Because the contrast there is to not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do you think back in the first century that there were people of different means, higher and lower means, and do you think that was the case back then? Yes. Has it always continued to be the case? Yes, and it will continue to be the case. Does that mean that there should be any difference in how we treat one another based on our backgrounds of any kind? No, by no means. We have the same mind towards one another. So no matter who you are, what your background is, or anything that the world would use to separate us, we should be of the same mind towards one another. I think the same way about every one of you. And likewise, that is a reciprocal relationship, not haughty in mind at all. Look there let's go over to Romans 15. And this is an interesting passage, Romans 15. There's a lot going on in Romans 14 and 15. Reading in verses 5 and 7, and we'll back up and kind of give us more of a context. And now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not same-minded towards one another, what does this passage say it interrupts? Verse 6. Glorifying God. If we are not same-minded towards one another, it interrupts our worship to God. If we're not same-minded, there's consequences. Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us in the glory of God. And this is something that's mentioned in earlier, and we'll look at this in just a second. Back up to chapter 15, verse 1. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. The whole context starts way back in chapter 14, verse 1. It says, now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, and another one has weak, eats vegetables only. And the one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. So when we are in a relationship with God, as members of Christ's body, we are in a relationship with God. God has added us to the kingdom, and God has accepted us based on his standard of acceptance. We do not add other standards of acceptance. Here we have people who are discussing whether or not you can eat meat or not, and that was a big discussion then with meat sacrificed to idols. But are there other things that have come up that we create acceptance or non-acceptance when God has not even said anything about them? Are we judging? Are we passing judgments on people based on things that God has nothing? God's saying, I've accepted them. Who are you to not? If we're everybody's same mind towards one another, we need to be very careful about how we think about our brethren. We can get judgy, right? We can get judgy from time to time. And sometimes that information gets poured into us from other sources. It gets poured into our minds that, well, you can't, anybody who uses this word or anybody who votes this way or anybody who uses this vehicle or anybody who, you know, does this is a certain person, and we start to vilify people who we don't even know. And then in turn, we find out, oh, my brother in Christ did this thing that I have vilified people for. And now I'm no longer of same mind. You see what I'm saying? Like, we need to be very careful. Yes, sir.
I was going to say, you know, that chapter Romans 12 about the sacrifice, verse 18, as much as it's possible within you, live at peace with all men.
Yes, yep. As much as lies within you, live at peace with all men. Be peaceful with all men in Romans 12. And in the case here with the congregation, they were having some issues because you had people that were eating meat sacrificed to others and others who were only eating vegetables. Which, that's fine, right? You can have your braised cabbage if you want, right? But you see what I'm saying? Like, those small things should not get in the way of our relationship. And likewise, he said to the strong, don't let food be the reason why you cause a stumbling block for your brother. Verse 13 of chapter 14, therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. So it's very important that we think about these things. And this is talking about foods and customs in that time that were open for opinion. And there are likewise still foods and customs of this time that are open to opinion. If you want to eat some crazy foods, that's fine. It doesn't make you a saint or a sinner either way. But we need to be careful that we're not passing judgment and that we're of the same mind, even if I have a brother who's only eating vegetables, right? That's fine. Right? That's not going to be a problem. And so we need to be very careful. Consider and encourage. Hebrews chapter 10. Consider and encourage. We're holding fast, right? Holding fast the confession of our faith, our hope without wavering. To what end? Hebrews chapter 10, beginning of verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, considering God and all that he's done. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. It is not hard necessarily to push somebody's buttons. Did y'all, I mean, I was not this brother, but maybe you had siblings that knew your buttons, knew your hot point, and the things that would get you riled up. You can stimulate somebody, but it's very, very different to stimulate somebody to do good things. It might be easy to stimulate them to get mad or angry at you, but to stimulate them and encourage them to do good things, it maybe presents a different challenge. But let us consider, let us think about how we can stimulate one another to good deeds. And directly in connection with this, it says, not forsaking our own assembling together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Part of encouraging one another and part of considering to encourage one another is tied together with our assembly, of our coming together as the saints. It's supposed to be an encouragement to one another. What would happen if just the preachers just stopped showing up? The preachers and their family, let's just stop showing up. Kara is working tonight. That's when she had to work. But other than that, right, those preachers and their families, they couldn't be here. They just stopped showing up. Would that be a discouragement? That would be a discouragement. What if our elders just hit or miss? They showed up every once in a while. What if that happened? It was a very hypothetical scenario here, but what if that happened and they stopped showing up? Those are high-profile people, right? That's encouragement to see them. They are an encouragement. They talk to us and they encourage us and they bring us alongside them and encourage them. What if our deacons, hypothetically, what if our deacons didn't come to Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday nights, and those kind of things that are opportunities there? What if that happened? What if deacons didn't come? Would that be a discouragement? That would be a discouragement if even our deacons didn't show up. And we can say, well, they're supposed to be here, that's who they are, and that kind of stuff, but that's not how God so composed the body that we could say, well, they have a responsibility, but, you know, I don't necessarily have to do that. Is that how God composed the body? Can the foot say to the hand, I have no need of you? Didn't we study this already? Haven't we gone over this? Every individual is uniquely placed by God in the congregation. Every individual is uniquely placed in the body and required to be here. And maybe I can say, well, my presence, nobody's going to notice, and I'll minimize my presence when God is saying it's everything. You being here is an encouragement. There are some of you, I know the struggle you have just to be here. And that's an encouragement. So when we consider our assembly together, consider that it is part of an encouragement process for my brethren. They need to see me, right? They need to see me. We need one another. And the more we separate ourselves, the more we get drawn out, the less connections we can have. And so it's interesting that here in this context of considering to encourage one another, to stimulate to good works, it's directly tied together with our assembling together, our coming together as a group of people. Everybody has a place and everybody's important, not just what we might consider the high-profile people. To tolerate one another, sometimes tolerating one another means I'm just going to ignore you, right? I will be honest, I had a hard time in the mornings. Everybody, I think, a lot of us can raise our hands. I have a problem with hearing people chew. Is that all right? Does anybody else have that problem? I cannot stand to hear, and my brothers, I would have to hide. This is back when you didn't have phones or anything like that, and you would actually read a cereal box. But I would hide behind my cereal box and try to ignore my brothers, as they're like just nom-nomming on their Cheerios. And it's like, cannot stand. Like, and when they would like bring it to their mouth and like inhale and like suck it off their spoon, oh goodness, I could not stand that. So I was hiding behind the cereal box, memorizing the ingredients of Honey Nut Cheerios, trying just to tolerate my brothers as they ate. Is that the kind of tolerance that we're talking about? Is that what we're, maybe some days, but is that what we're shooting for? Is that what we're shooting for? It's not quite. In Ephesians 4, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Patience and tolerance go hand in hand. This is not a tolerance that says, well, you do you and I do me and, you know, you just do you. This is not a tolerance that says we all can do our own thing and, you know, and walk our own way. There is a way, a manner we're supposed to walk here, even in this context of tolerance. There's a way we're supposed to walk, but do so with patience and love towards one another. Are we going to make mistakes? Is there a physical family out there who has never made a mistake? Are there parents who have never made a mistake? And we pray that our children will do better, right? And But we've all made mistakes, and we all need patience as we come together. But showing patience in helping one another is extremely important for us to come together and create community. You cannot be together. You know, there's an alternate reading people like to quote, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There's like an alternate reading in the sub paraphrase version, where two or three are gathered together, there will be drama, right? It happens, okay? It happens. But we need to be patient with one another. Part of it is because all of us are coming to Christ from a different perspective, from a different vantage point. All of us are coming to Christ from a different background. Do you think it was any different in the Hellenistic world and Jews and barbarians and Greeks all coming together in one place? Do you think they had different customs? I can only imagine. I can only imagine what they had to overcome. But in doing that, patience was paramount. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you. Bearing with one another, bearing up is the idea of bearing up under something for a time. We need to be very patient. We're going to talk about some other things later on in another. We'll get into kind of some, in creating community, there are times when we have to deal with conflict, and conflict is healthy when it's handled in a healthy way, and we'll talk about that in another class, but this is this idea that we need to be patient with one another, because if we're honest, we would like to have patience, correct? Love your neighbor as yourself. I would want patience when I've messed up. I confess too much up here, but I just use myself as an example because it's easy. I know myself. If you're at a light longer than I think you should be, because I think you're on your phone, I will honk. All right? I will honk. I cannot tell you how much restraint I have to not honk as much as I used to honk in Paraguay, because in Paraguay, man. But I will honk. Now, have I been honked at before? Yes, I have. I have been honked at before. I won't tell you why, but I have been honked at before. Do I have to recognize in that moment that, yes, I made a mistake. I made a mistake. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we need to be real, like, and understand that we will make mistakes. We want patience in both scenarios. So be tolerant, and hopefully we get that is reciprocal. Right? That's what this concept of one another is, a reciprocal concept. Being hospitable. Being hospitable. When you see this word, what do you think of? A hospital, right? A hospital. That's appropriate. Welcoming people in. And that's kind of the idea. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Without complaint. Sometimes one or the other is easier than the other one, right? But being hospitable to one another without complaint. I'll do it, but I'm not going to like it, right? That's not quite the attitude we're shooting for here. Look over in Hebrews. I'm going to look at kind of something else in Hebrews 13. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. All right, this is not like, maybe this was the impetus for a certain sitcom, Highway to Heaven or whatever, back in the day. But the idea here is we are supposed to take care of one another. There's a responsibility we have towards one another, being hospitable towards one another. The circumstances back then were, if you're traveling through an area and, you know, you had brethren come into town who were traveling through, going to different things, you were supposed to open your house to them without complaint. Be hospitable. Be hospitable. Do not neglect. And this says, in this case, even strangers, so people who aren't necessarily members of the Lord's church, but if they were, great. But even strangers, do not neglect to show hospitality, for by some you've entertained angels, we're not going into what that might entail. Remember others who are imprisoned. Those, were they imprisoned back in the time? Even Paul, right, had been in prison. And there were those who had seen to his needs. They were hospitable, helping him as well. So this idea of being hospitable was a requirement because it was a way the church took care of one another. There weren't, you know, necessarily, you know, we'll just go down to Motel 8 or whatever. Or it was really, really expensive in that time for different things. And even in those circumstances, even today, it's really, really expensive depending on the time of year you're down here. So being hospitable, how can we show hospitality towards one another? What are ways we can do that? What are practical ways to show hospitality? Food. Do we use our table? Your table, your food, where you eat, is a physical representation of God's blessing. Every time you sit down to eat, God has blessed you. Every time you, I guess, roll through a drive-thru, God has blessed you. You have food. Your table is a physical representation of God's blessing to you. How often do you share it? How often do we share our table? How often do we share the things that God has blessed us with and share our homes, open up our homes? And this is just a feeling. I don't have any stats to back this up. I can make some up if you want. Those are really fun. But it just feels like, which is authority nowadays, right? If you feel something, that's how it is. It feels like we're not doing that as much. Would you say that's safe to say? We don't entertain at home. Yes, that's fine. I'll take you out to lunch, but don't come home and see my messy table, right? Don't come home and see my half-finished DIY project on the table or something, right? We don't do that as much as we used to. I don't know why that is necessarily. I mean, it's just a shift in our culture. It used to be. That's true. We are not at home as much. We don't even eat. How many of you actually eat every night at the physical table? How many of you eat every night at a table? Or some of you are still doing that. It's awesome. But not a lot of us are doing that anymore. You see that shift. But that's one way we used to show hospitality. I remember growing up that we were going to somebody's house all the time. Mom and Dad, can we just stay home? Right? Do we have to go to these people's house? And we used to have... There was that random toy box that everybody had, you know, that when kids, you invite somebody's family over that had kids, you just got the random toys out for the kids to play with, because they didn't have cell phones to sit in a corner and veg out. They had to do something. Do you see what I'm saying? What's that?
There's cars in the box.
That's right, the cars in the box. We had potato heads and Legos. Those are what we had. So, oh, do you really? Oh, okay, we're sharing too much. Anyway, do you understand the hospitality is important. It's an opportunity for us to show God's blessing, share God's blessing, but to show what a Christian home looks like, to show what a Christian atmosphere looks like, and invite people into our home and be an influence that way. Yes, ma'am. Exactly. Did you hear that? Making people feel welcome. Hospitality isn't only what we do at our home, but making them feel welcome when they come here. When we see new people, you see new people come in, you don't know, they don't have the palm tree, so you're not sure, and you introduce yourself, and you're just like, oh yeah, I've been a member here for like 5 months, right? And you're like, oh man, I'm sorry, I just haven't got around to meeting you yet, I guess, right? And you do that. But we need to be more hospitable, especially now that, you know, the doors are maybe a little heavier than they used to be. It's for your safety, it's for your own good. Yes, sir. Yes, we're going to get there too. But volunteering our services, being hospitable in that way, being able to help each other. So there's a lot we can do with hospitality, a lot of different ways that can be played out. But is it something that's on our minds to do? Not all the time, because we do have very busy schedules, and we get caught up in those things. And sometimes it's difficult to remember to look around and help others. So being hospitable is important. To one another. Building each other up to edify, to build one another up. There's a lot of different passages on this. Thessalonians, therefore, encourage one another, build up one another, just as also you are doing. Hebrews 3:13 also talks about this idea of building. This, the idea here is to edify, is the word you see a lot, to build one another up. And we even see that like an edifice, or a concept of actually physically building a thing, to build somebody up. Look over in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. To encourage one another every day. there are days when, you know, you might need the encouragement, and there are days when you can be the encourager. But while you still have a day called today, it's time to encourage one another. So it's a constant thing that we can do to build one another up and help one another. This next word might seem harsh, admonish. We don't use that word as much, do we? We don't. But what does it mean to admonish? What's that? Scold. It can come across scoldy, right? Can we put an E on scoldy and be like judgy? But what's that? The warning is the idea, right? Maybe somebody's trying to admonish and it's coming across a little scoldy. but warning, and to say, hey, you might want to think about this. And there's a way we need to do it. My brother and I, myself, also convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. Look at Colossians chapter 3. I guess keep your finger here in Romans, or maybe it's on the screen. But look at Colossians chapter 3 again. There's a connection with admonition. It's connected to a thing. If y'all, what's that? Reminding is, yes, we can remind gently, right? We can. That's a good word, to remind. Yeah, there's another story. I'm not going to get into another story. I'll get myself in trouble. But yes, that's correct. Sometimes we can remind and remind, and then sometimes the tone changes when we start reminding. Have you been the victim of that? Those kind of. But reminding is the idea here, to warn, to admonish, to remind. But what's the connection here? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, what is also mentioned here? Let the word of Christ dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and what's in connection in both passages? What are they filled with here? Full of goodness, filled with knowledge. What was filled with? What's connection with admonishing over here in Colossians? Worship, but there's also knowledge, right? There's also with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing. There's this idea of knowledge and teaching connected with a reminder or an admonition, that it's not just my own whim that I'm remember, you're supposed to open the door for me, right? I'm admonishing you to open the door for me. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about things that the Bible has said, these are things we're supposed to do, and we are to warn and admonish one another in connection with the Scriptures, in connection with what the standard that we all have. Yes, sir? To say it in the right way? Okay. Redirecting people to continue to walking in the way they're supposed to, that's true. I mean, maybe somebody's getting off course, and we come along beside them and encourage them. Do you think there's a certain spirit that's supposed to be done with this? What do you think we're supposed to do this with? Love. Exactly. So you hear that we warn because we want to go to heaven together, not because I want to admonish them necessarily. Yes, ma'am, you had your hand up. Out of love. We need to make sure we're doing things out of love. And remember that we will also necessarily, we might in the future need that same kind of admonition. So we need to admonish one another, encourage one another, build one another up as we looked at, and also to serve one another. We were called to freedom. Brethren, only do not turn your freedom into opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That's again in connection with certain foods and things like that. And so you're able to do what you want, you're able to eat what you want, but don't turn that into something. Don't let that be a stumbling block. Rather serve one another in connection with these things. We don't have a whole lot of time. Yes, ma'am. Exactly. Well, I put somebody else's needs over mine. I put somebody else in first. And that's kind of the idea of loving my brother and bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ, bearing up with one another, helping people with... Have you had people do that for you? Have you had people do that with you to bear your burdens and stand up underneath things? We need to pray for one another, forgive one another. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but be kind, tenderhearted, as we looked at this idea, forgiving just as God in Christ also forgave you. God in Christ, in sending his only son, forgave you. I think you can forgive your brother for what they've done. What do you think? Is that possible? It's there. It's a responsibility. Matthew says, if I don't forgive, God won't forgive me. If I can't forgive, if I can't learn to forgive, I won't be forgiven. And so this is really, really important. Prayers for one another, we just, you know, kind of, we do that on a Wednesday, on a weekly thing, but some of you have said, I'm praying for you, and I've asked, likewise, what can we pray for together for others? And so this is something that we need to make sure that we're doing, praying for one another, and maybe in that even confessing sins to one another in that, hey, can you pray for this, whatever item it is that's going on in my life, the struggle that I'm having, can you help me with this? And doing these things and praying for one another. These are things that we can do and helping each other. So here's kind of what we looked at tonight. Different things we can do for one another. A responsibility that we have towards you. These are not optional. Did you read that in the text? That any of these were optional? Choose your own adventure and how you want to be a Christian. These are things we're supposed to do. Do we do them perfectly every time? No, we mess up. And that's where, you know, we need love of one another, we need patience, we need those kind of things, because I will mess up, have messed up, and probably will mess up in the future, and I'll need your forgiveness, and those kind of things. But you can see how if these things are happening, and these are not all of them, but these are what we had time to cover tonight. If these things are happening in a congregation of the Lord's body, do you think it's a healthy congregation? It's a healthy congregation if we can work towards doing these things. I'd encourage you to look at this list tonight and consider, what am I doing well? Where can I improve? Where are some things where I could probably do better? And take a mental note, pray about it, and see what you can change this week in working towards these responsibilities that we have towards one another. Any questions, thoughts, concerns? All right, thank you very much for your time tonight.